We looked everywhere in Colorado except for the Denver metro area, Fort Collins, Boulder, Greeley, Colorado Springs, Pueblo, and Grand Junction.
You restricted the analysis to rural areas and towns with populations less than 50,000 to reduce potential for exposure to other pollution sources, such as traffic, correct?
Yes, that was one of our reasons for limiting it to rural Colorado, was to try to limit some of the other potential sources of pollutants.
And you were focusing on areas with natural gas development and without, correct?
That's correct. We looked at all the births, whether or not they were in the vicinity of natural gas development or not. Every mother's residence that was included in this study, we defined the location of the mother's home using GIS coordinates. And then we do a 10-mile circle around the mother's home, a circle with a 10-mile radius, the mother's home being the center of that circle. And we counted all the natural gas wells that existed in the year of birth within that circle. And then we took the inverse of the distance and summed those distances together to come up with the density of natural gas wells within that circle around the mother's residence.
Okay, so some of these mothers may have had multiple wells or different operations around their homes, whereas others may have just had one.
That's correct, and then some of them had none.
And did you focus on areas with certain kinds of methods of drilling, such as hydraulic fracturing?
We did not. We didn't have that level of detail of information.
In the study, you look specifically at congenital heart defects, neural tube defects, oral clefts, preterm birth, and term low birth weight. Were these birth defects more common in mothers who lived closer to natural gas development?
What we found was that the congenital heart defects were 30% more likely in the mothers, in infants born to the mothers with the highest density of wells around them compared to mothers with no gas wells around them. We also found possibly a twofold increase in neural tube defects, although we interpret that very cautiously because there are very few neural tube defects in our data set. It's a very rare outcome. So statistically, we run into some low number problems. And for oral clefts, we didn't see any relationship at all. Unexpectedly, for the preterm birth and term low birth weight, we saw that the birth weights increased as the mothers had more wells around them and that preterm birth was slightly less likely.
Was the biggest finding the increased likelihood of congenital heart defects for infants born to mothers living near natural gas development?
The neural tube defects actually had a larger percentage, but we're less sure of those results. The congenital heart defects, we saw a linear trend as the number of wells were increasing, and we had quite a few births to base that on, so we're more confident in those results. And to say what we're confident in is just with proximity of wells around the maternal residence, it appears that there's a 30% increase in congenital heart defects. But, you know, there could be other things going on that we have not accounted for, so we don't know exactly what's causing that increase.
And what other things could there be, I guess, affecting that you guys did not consider?
One thing that we weren't able to consider was folic acid consumption, which is also associated with these birth defects. And another thing that we were not able to consider was the mother's occupation, the father's occupation, other potential environmental exposures that might be occurring in these areas. And finally, we weren't able to consider genetic information. We'd like to go back and see exactly what kind of activities were happening on the wells for a select number of births. We would also like to determine whether or not the mother lived at the home of birth during the first trimester of pregnancy. That's because the first trimester of pregnancy is the time when the birth defects originate.
From what I could tell, you guys pull a lot of information from several studies that have already been done, such as one done in 2001 by J.A. Bukowski that found pollutants emitted during oil and gas operations such as benzene are known to cross the placenta, raising the possibility of fetal exposure. Can you explain that a little bit? I mean, there's already been a lot of work done, right, on on this?
Okay, so there's been quite a bit of work done on benzene, toluene, and xylene, and whether or not they're emitted from natural gas development. These are chemicals that we've been aware of causing health problems for quite a long time. And so studies have been done that show that benzene, toluene, and xylene can cross the placenta, and the fetus can be exposed to those if those chemicals are present.
So how is this study different? You know, what new information, I guess, are you guys bringing into the field?
We had already in a previous study indicated that during natural gas development that toluene, benzene, and xylene could be admitted during the process of development. And our studies had shown that the emissions were higher during the well completions or the flowbacks. And this has been confirmed by other studies that have measured elevated concentrations of benzene, xylene, and toluene and other hydrocarbons during natural gas development. So that shows the likelihood for exposure. And what our study was adding was actually looking at some health outcomes, such as the birth defects, and seeing if we could see an increase in those health effects compared to, you know, no exposure.
There have been some articles written about this. I found one where there was some criticism raised over the study and its methodology, saying it does not take into account other prenatal factors such as smoking and drinking. Another concern over not making a distinction between active fracking wells and inactive ones and how health impacts may be different between the two.
Okay, so on the first one, we did adjust for maternal smoking and alcohol consumption. The second one, we do discuss that limitation where we were not able to distinguish between active wells and wells that might have been shut in. We did not include any abandoned wells in our analysis, though. We made sure not to do that, and that is described in the methods of our paper. And in the limitations, we do discuss that we weren't able to determine, you know, the activity on the well pads, and that's something we hope to do in future studies.
Okay. And so you said the first trimester is sort of the most vulnerable period?
For the birth defects, yes.
And what sorts of, I know that it's talked about in the study, but what sorts of chemicals are of concern?
Well, so the chemicals of concern here that we know of are things like benzene, toluene, xylenes. There could be other chemicals that we're not aware of. The whole study of what types of environmental exposures cause these birth defects is not well known right now. So it could be other chemicals too, and we could, you know, should also say that benzene, toluene, and xylene can come from other sources than natural gas development.
What other sources?
Such as gasoline, diesel exhaust, although there's quite a bit of diesel engines associated with natural gas development too.
And why was this study done? Is there an effort at the Colorado School of Public Health?
We are at the Colorado School of Public Health looking at the health effects around oil and gas development. The first study we did, we saw that there were increased emissions of benzene, xylene, and toluene and other pollutants during the development process. There have been published papers now on people having health complaints around natural gas development, although those are largely anecdotal at this point, and that's what led us to do this study.
And why is all this work being done right now? Is there sort of, I mean, obviously there's, in Colorado at least, I know there's growth in mm-hmm. oil and natural gas development. Is that part of the reason?
That's part of the reason. Russell Gold in the Wall Street Journal recently published an article indicating that over 15 million Americans are living within a mile of an oil or gas well that was drilled since the year 2000. So that's, you know, around 5% of the population, and that number is expected to grow.
I mean, there's a lot of people who might hear this story who live near natural gas operations. I mean, is this something to be concerned about for them?
I guess, that every person has their own level of comfort, and the studies aren't conclusive at this point. I do think that the studies that have been done to date do indicate that we need to look at this closely and do the further study to see if there is a relationship or not.
So more work needs to be done.
Yes, more work needs to be done. That's probably not exactly what people want to hear, but that's, can't say more than that.
All right. Well, Lisa, thank you.
Well, thank you.